Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Easter is coming, and that is all about joy. But it's easy to forget, sorrow comes first. And no one was more aware of that than Mary of Bethany. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend, right here in the Faith Radio Network, we look at a different biblical character. Last time we looked at Martha, and today it's her sister, Mary. We're going to pick up her story in John 12, 1. It's 6 days before the Passover, the Bible tells us. Now, on our calendar, that's the Saturday before Palm Sunday. They didn't know that, of course, but we do. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, they call this Lazarus Saturday, recognizing that resurrection, which pointed, of course, to the resurrection of Christ. John 12:1 continues, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So some reminders here, as often typical in the Bible. It's that place, it's that guy, and yes, it's that resurrection. It's interesting to me, they weren't in Martha's house this time. I don't know if Simon's house was bigger, they got a great deal at Costco on appetizers, I don't know, but they have moved. Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, Matthew 26:6 tells us. Simon the leper going to his house for dinner. Oh yeah, please, let's go to a leper's house for dinner. Oh, well, obviously, he's been healed of his sararat, of his leprosy. Interesting that he's still called, still known as Simon the leper, even though he is a leper no more. And I think that's a lasting reminder of God's grace. It's why I call myself an FBG, a former bad girl. I never want to forget that God set me free from a past. And Simon is a man set free, and he is hosting here. A dinner was given in Jesus' honor, the Bible tells us. Martha served. Well, of course she did. Serving is what Martha does best. And no complaining this time. You know, Martha really showed us her true colors when we looked at her story and her proclamation of who Jesus was. Yes, Lord, I believe. And so she has grown, I think, spiritually, and she's matured. So this time, no complaining about Mary not helping her. You know, why am I left to do all this by myself? She is quietly, efficiently, effectively serving, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, with Jesus. Now, this was the custom. When you ate a formal meal, you reclined around a low table in a fancy house. You might even have a very low couch to sit on, or perhaps just a blanket on the ground. It had to be, I just have to say this, awkward. You propped yourself up on your left elbow, and you ate with your right hand. The left hand was the unclean hand. The right hand was the clean hand. Many places today around the world, that's still true. You shake only with the right hand. You eat only with the right hand. What that meant is if you're at the table and you're all stretched out and your feet are far from you, as it were, well, that explains exactly how this beautiful scene unfolds, because we find Mary of Bethany kneeling at the Lord's feet. John 12:3 says, Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. Nard? Rhymes with lard? It just doesn't sound like a beautiful perfume. But nard is short for spikenard, which was imported from northern India and was, in fact, an amazing perfume. Now, I do want to clarify something. This is not the unnamed prostitute of Luke 7, who also anointed Jesus' feet. Their stories are often confused. They're two very different women, and these are two very different occasions. The woman in Luke 7 is called often the sinful woman, but Mary of Bethany is never referred to as a sinner. I mean, she's a sinner in the sense that we all are, but she was not known for her sin as the woman in Luke 7, the prostitute, was. The sinful woman anointed his feet in the Galilee, 75 miles north of Jerusalem. But Mary anointed his feet in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. So two different places and two different times. The sinful woman poured out her perfume a full year before the crucifixion. But Mary poured out her pure spikenard just 6 days before the crucifixion. See, the nearness of the Lord's death is pivotal to this story, for Jesus, of course, and for Mary of Bethany, and for us. So how much pure nard did she pour out here? Well, it would amount to our 12-ounce jar, like a soda can. I want you to think about a soda can full of expensive perfume. That's an extraordinary amount. And it was an expensive perfume, John goes on to tell us. It was precious. It was rare. It was very costly. Now, the last thing you and I would do with something this valuable is pour it on somebody's feet. But we're not Mary. Mark 14:3 says, she broke the jar. Whether it's translated as a vase or a vial or a box of alabaster, it would have been a container with a skinny neck that you snapped in two. You just snapped that neck. And then once you broke it open like that, obviously, it'd be very hard to stopper it. It could not be used another time. Mary wanted to release every drop of it, saving nothing for herself. She poured it on Jesus' feet, John 12:3 tells us. Ounce after ounce, she drenched his skin, she soaked the hem of his garment, and it pooled on the floor around his heels. It was scandalous, and it was glorious. Now, Mark's gospel tells us she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Why head in Mark and feet in John? Well, understand, anointing the head was a standard practice. Mary may have done that first. But what John wanted to write in his gospel, what really struck him, was that Mary anointed the Lord's feet. See, that was more sacrificial. His head, of course, but his feet, oh my. I think one of the things that makes Mary of Bethany so impressive to me, one is, I just have to say it, she only has a brief bit of dialogue recorded in Scripture. In this scene, she never speaks. Think about that. She never says a word. She demonstrates who she is, what she's about, her worship. It's all in what she's doing rather than what she's saying. That's impressive to a chatty Cathy like me. But I also love the fact that she sat at his feet to listen, and then she fell at his feet, remember, to weep, and here she knelt at his feet to offer this priceless gift. And as if pouring it out all over his feet wasn't enough, then her dark hair also spilled down onto the floor, and she wiped his feet with her hair. Just, wow. The Bible says if a woman has long hair, it is her glory. Hair was closely tied to a sense of self-worth and respect. Frankly, then, yes, but now too. Think about, my sisters, how much time you spend on your hair. Choosing the color, for starters, right? Some of us have been chemically dependent our whole lives. So you pick a color, perhaps. You pick a style. You have to get it constantly trimmed and styled and coiffed, as we used to say. You spend a lot of time on your hair. So the fact that Mary is just letting go of her hair, literally letting it down, she's letting go of her longing to be lovely and really her longing to be loved, even liked. Because using one's hair to dry a man's feet was the lowliest job for the lowliest servant. Furthermore, it was against Jewish convention for a hostess, for a gentlewoman, to appear in the presence of men with unbound hair. But there was Mary of Bethany, and she's unbound. She cared nothing about the rules of her day. She cared everything about Jesus. She didn't just sacrifice this incredibly expensive perfume. She sacrificed her whole self, her pride, her reputation, her social standing. I mean, she may not be speaking, but you know, everybody was talking about Mary of Bethany. You can almost hear the whispers going around the room and the snide looks and the disapproval. See, only bad girls, only a prostitute would let her hair down in public. And yet, Jesus gladly received Mary's gift. He welcomed her touch. He celebrated her sacrifice. He breathed in the fragrant aroma of a soul set free. You see, when you worship with abandon, like Mary of Bethany did, well, nothing blesses God more. When we stop thinking about ourselves altogether, stop thinking about what will people think and what will people say and how's this look, and you just pour out yourself for the Lord. John 12:3 continues, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And what a fragrance! This scent was so powerful. It went far beyond the house being filled with the perfume. That scent would travel up to half a mile. So that evening in Bethany, we can imagine people sniffing the scented air and wondering what was happening at Simon the leper's house. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs, and we're learning more today about Mary of Bethany. If you're just joining us and wish you'd heard it from the beginning, no problem. You can listen again on the podcast, which is featured on myfaithradio.com and also on my own website, lizcurtishiggs.com. While you're on my site, I hope you'll connect with me on Facebook, hang out there every day, on Twitter. Sign up if you would like for my monthly Bible study. It would arrive in your inbox. And you'll find all the info about my books there, about 2 dozen of them still in print. The one we're choosing from today is The Women of Easter. But, of course, the Bible is what we really care about, so let's get back to our story. Mary's private devotion now has become a PDA, a public display of affection. Unfortunately, such tender scenes seldom last long in real life or in the real Bible. The world intrudes, makes demands, and even protests. And that's what happened that evening in Bethany. But one of his, oh, there's that but to start things out. You know I love the word but, warning us that either there is a comparison about to be made or there's going to be a turn in the story. But in this beautiful scene, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, we want to make sure we know who we're talking about here, he objected, John 12:4. Oh, Judas objected. He is, in fact, a disciple in name only, because this man worshipped his silver far more than he worshipped his Savior. Judas found Mary's actions distasteful, disgraceful, and above all, wasteful. John 12:5 says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? I gotta be honest, I wish somebody that day had shot back at him, because it wasn't yours to sell, buddy. You see, Mary's sacrifice was priceless. But what mattered to Judas was the street value. He goes on to say, it was worth a year's wages. Of course, he would tarnish the gift by stating the price. When you give someone a gift, you never say, and here's how much it cost, right? I have to confess, I was tempted once. I resisted the urge. But the truth is, everybody knew this was a very expensive perfume. But Judas wanted to get specific about it. It was worth, the CEV tells us, 300 silver coins, or about a full year's pay for an ordinary workman. So, in today's economy, $30,000 for a bottle of perfume. Now, I was curious. I went online to see if there was any perfume today that would cost $30,000. I actually found one that cost $1 million, but it's because the bottle was encrusted with diamonds and jewels. The perfume itself, $30,000 for a 12-ounce bottle. That, even today, you'd be hard-pressed to find that. But looking at that, I think the real question we have to ask ourselves is, could you give an entire year's salary to Jesus, not a tithe, the whole thing, and not just hand it to him, perhaps for his ministry to feed the disciples and so forth, but to pour it out on his feet, to so value worship and so value the one being worshiped that you would just pour it all out. Friends, people do that today. They pour out their whole lives, and they do it in a quiet way like Mary of Bethany. Nobody sees. Nobody claps. Oh, but Jesus sees. Mark 8:36 reminds us, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? We know the answer. Mary of Bethany knew the answer. Judas, unfortunately, was clueless. He did not say this, John 12:6 tells us, because he cared about the poor. See, it seemed like he was worried about the poor. But because he was a thief, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Oh, yeah, he would have loved that $30,000 in the money bag because he used to help himself. He stole money from the common pot at every opportunity, one translation tells us. Which makes me wonder, why did Jesus allow Judas to remain in his inner circle, knowing this about him? Well, because Judas had a part to play in God's redemption plan. So did Mary of Bethany, but she was the opposite of Judas. In every way, I don't mean just male, female. Judas was greedy, and Mary of Bethany was generous. Judas betrayed him in the end, but Mary was loyal to the end. Well, as it often happens in scenes like this, once Judas protested, everybody else jumped in, chimed in. Some of those present, Mark 14:4 tells us, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume?" They were angry. They were upset. And they rebuked her harshly. Also translated, they scolded, they criticized, they censured and reproved. Poor Mary of Bethany. She's one of their own. She is sharing something so holy. And yet she's treated cruelly, not by strangers, but by other followers of Christ. We look at that and say, well, that's just terrible. Oh, but friends, it happens today. Been on social media lately? Christians can tear down other Christians and how they do ministry and how they worship. Oh, it's ugly now, and it was ugly then, too. I love what happens next. Jesus offered a rebuke of his own, but it was not aimed at Mary of Bethany. It was aimed at his own disciples. "Leave her alone," John 12:7 says. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. Can I just say, I love this. Jesus came to her defense. Mary didn't have to say a word. Mark 14:6 says, "Why are you bothering her?" Heated tempers must have cooled in a hurry, and gazes surely were averted, and voices were silenced. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Beautiful. Very little to do with her appearance. Everything to do with a person's character, with her integrity, with her charity, with her sincerity. Because Mary's deed is so beautiful, so is she. By the way, I wonder if you've noticed something about Martha or Mary. In fact, many of the women in the Bible are not described physically at all. We have no idea what kind of hair they had. Long, that's descriptive, but no color, style. Was it straight? Was it wavy? Was it curly? We don't know, because it doesn't matter to God. the exact shade of their skin, not mentioned. Color of their eyes, not mentioned. Fullness of their lips, not mentioned. Not even simple words like fair of face. We don't get any of that for so many women of the Bible. We do for a few, but only then because it factors into the story. The fact that they were physically beautiful somehow matters to the story. In fact, if you go back and look, a lot of times it got them in trouble. Ask Bathsheba about that. Ask Sarah. So sometimes the beauty of the woman made life harder instead of easier for her. But I love the fact that her actions are described as beautiful, but her body, her face, her hair, no description. Her beauty was revealed in her brokenness, not just the breaking open of the bottle, but the breaking open of her pride. She poured everything out for Jesus, and so he says of her in Mark 14:8, she did what she could. Mary of Bethany did what God called her to do, what God equipped her to do. No more, but no less. We have no idea how long she has been saving this perfume, whether she bought it days before this dinner party, or whether it was an inheritance to her, something she has saved her whole life, waiting for the right moment. Maybe she meant for it to last many years for herself. 12 ounces of perfume. Okay, my darling husband, every Christmas, gives me a bottle of perfume. Interestingly, the name is Beautiful by Estee Lauder. I wore it when we married 32 years ago, and it still remains my favorite perfume. So every Christmas, I get a 1 ounce bottle. And I have to make it last a year. So I get 6 squirts a day. That's it, very carefully. And I can make it last a year. Mary of Bethany could have made her perfume last for 12 years. We have no idea how long she's waited till this moment. But now she's held back nothing. The CJB says what she could do, she did do. Boy, would I love that on my tombstone, wouldn't you? What she could do, she did do. Oh, Lord, sometimes we don't even do what we can do. We hold back, we hoard, we save. Not just for a rainy day, for any day. We just save, we hang on to things that are ours. Afraid to share them with others. Afraid to pour them out in front of you. Afraid of lack. Afraid we won't have enough. Mary of Bethany was not going to have another drop of this perfume for the next day, or the next year, or the next 12 years. This was it, and she held nothing back. Jesus says in Mark 14:8, she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. What we need to understand is the disciples were fighting this idea right up until what we call Holy Week. They were insisting, no, you're not going to die. That's not going to happen. But Mary of Bethany apparently understood. And so he speaks it very plainly here. So the disciples, bless them, the disciples, wouldn't miss why this was done. Other translations say, she pre-anointed my body. The New Living says, she made me ready for the grave. Later in the story, of course, women will again anoint the body of Jesus. But Mary of Bethany, she went first. So important to see that. When all the other disciples were insisting this would be unnecessary, Mary knew, oh, it's necessary. I have to give him everything right now. This is my chance. I can imagine Jesus looking at Mary with the purest kind of love shining in his eyes. These beautiful words recorded in Mark 14:9, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told, in addition to the gospel, will also be told in memory of her. Not in memory of him, in memory of her, of Mary of Bethany. Wow. And it's true. We're still talking about her to this very day, 2,000 years later. We're still telling her story. Well, you've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Listen again, if you will, on the podcast, myfaithradio.com, LizCurtisHiggs.com, and you'll also find a short Bible study guide waiting for you to download online in both those websites in case you want to follow along. Oh, Heavenly Father, we look at this woman's story and we are humbled by her humility. We are undone by what she did. She did what she could do. Father, please help us do what we can do to express our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.